Paul Holbrook, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Pleasure to be here.
So what drew you to studying art and symbolism that we can find in cemeteries?
I was on the board of directors for Forest Home Cemetery for approximately 20 years. And in that period of time, I was visiting the cemetery a lot. And when I retired from UWM, one of the things I wanted to do was to develop a tour. And as part of that tour, I realized that there were symbols and pieces of artwork that I needed to understand to more fully explain the meaning of a particular monument and what its purpose was and what the practices were back in the day. So that's what led me to that whole issue of trying to understand the symbolism that's found in many cemeteries, not just Forest Home, but others as well.
Right. So the one obvious thing I can think of that these symbols depict is mourning, right? But what other range does symbolism portray when it comes to markers?
It's just a range of things that are there. They depict occupation is one characteristic of it. They at times depict a person's hobbies or their interests. They also depict religion, which is a very large symbolism topic. They also predict fraternal groups that people were members of, the Masons being the largest, and you'll see the symbol on the markers that are there. And there's a series of other things that have built up over time, but the great period of symbolism was in the Victorian era. And basically in the United States, that was the period of time after the Civil War until the First World War. Everything from flowers having a specific meaning, i.e. lily depicting purity, or oak leaves depicting someone who's a solid citizen in that concept that's there. So there were two things that were popular in the Victorian era. One was to use Greco-Roman symbolism, which is the temple, which is the primary one that they used. And the other were the Egyptian things that had become popular in the Victorian era, such things as an obelisk, sarcophagus. You'll see many large family monuments use a sarcophagus style for the family information, and then small headstones for each person. So all the emphasis was placed on the design that was used at that point. Mourning, as you indicated, is a common expression. Men may not like to hear this, but we only have women in mourning at the cemetery. There are no images of men in mourning.
And the book about Milwaukee's Forest Home Cemetery makes an interesting note about women in mourning, and that sometimes you have to look a little closer to tell the difference between an angel versus a woman in mourning, right?
Interestingly enough, the monument companies and the people who sculpted these things used similar models. So to be an angel, you must have wings. Even though it might look like your idea of an angel, if it doesn't have wings, it's a woman in mourning. And that's that. And when women are in mourning, they have two different styles. The first style is with your head down in almost a prayer-like position. The other style is a woman standing and then pointing to heaven. And that's where the old man is gone, so to speak. A lot of these monuments are actually purchased by women and not men because they lived longer than their husbands. So they got to choose the kinds of memorials that they were interested in. In terms of women in mourning, one of the more famous spaces at Forest Home Cemetery is called the Beer Baron Corner, where you have the Blatz family, the Schlitz monument, and the Pabst family. And the Pabst woman is in mourning. She's head down, very mournful. And in the Schlitz monument, it's a woman standing on top of the monument, pointing to heaven. And that's just the two different styles that are there.
Obviously, the range of markers at Forest Home or any cemetery range from small to massive and ornate. So when it came to incorporating symbols and having a bit more of a complex marker, was this something that usually only the upper class could partake in? I imagine this has always been a more expensive industry, a very labor-intensive thing to design and produce something.
Clearly, the newfound wealth that develops in the U.S. After the Civil War, when we have an expanding industrial base and wealth, plays a role in people identifying their place in society by the monuments that they have. And many of the monuments are not meant for one individual. They are meant to represent the family. And so they have that kind of aura about them, that they're large, important, significant individuals in the community. There is a difference amongst cemeteries. If you go to, I have to pick on a group here, but if you go to a Lutheran cemetery, they're not big on a lot of the big monuments. They downplay certain aspects of celebration that you would find in other cemeteries. A lot of cemeteries are associated primarily with a specific church. And so the attitudes of that church play a role in how their cemetery develops over time. But the large cemeteries in the U.S., which are in what's called the garden style, which is Forest Home Cemetery, have a lot of the large statuary specific monuments in them. And they tend to be dominated by the very significant names of the community in that particular era.
What's a good example of a peak Victorian era monument we can find in Forest Home?
I think probably the most quintessential Victorian era image is an obelisk. They're large, they're tall, they have that unique feeling to them. And we have some really nice ones in the cemetery. One of the ones that I happen to like the most is the Luick family, L-U-I-C-K. If you were around in the day, you would have known that Luick was an ice cream company. And he became most famous for packaging smaller quantities of ice cream, because when refrigeration first came out for the home, the freezers were very small. And so you couldn't put a gallon of ice cream in there. It was impossible. But if you put it in a pint-sized container, and that was his invention, and that made him somewhat famous, and it also made him a lot of money. So it works out very well. The other things that are, I think, probably quintessential are both the urn, which you find on a lot of monuments, and the urn is Egyptian in nature. And then to stylize it, they would drape it with a piece of cloth that showed reverence for the person that was there. The original purpose of the urn was to take something to the afterlife, but it wasn't being used in that particular fashion here.
So as you mentioned, there are some obvious symbols associated with what religion the cemetery is, or such as the Christian cross is one thing that comes to mind. But one thing I didn't know the significance of, and I thought was just maybe an aesthetically pleasing thing to add, was the three-step base of headstones and monuments. Can you explain the symbolism in that?
We have a number of larger monuments that have a three-step base to them. They frequently have no other indications as to what their faith might be. But the three steps gives you a clue, because it's meant to represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And so you see the concept of the Trinity laid out that way. So they're telling you that they're Christian. But there's no cross. There's nothing else to indicate that. There's no angel. It's just that's done in that particular fashion. And we have a number of them that are done that way. And it took me a long time to figure out what was going on with that particular symbolism.
Also, something associated with the Victorian era, or of course the Industrial Revolution, but overall 19th century, that unfortunately was infant mortality, right? The rates were very high. It was 50% or more sometimes. So what kind of symbolism do we see in the markers of children's graves?
The most common symbol used is the lamb. And interestingly enough, we have a number of markers that have two lambs on them. And that meant that they were twins. And they don't have a name. And that means they were stillborn. Back in those days, you did not name, you do not name a stillborn child. And the reasons for that is that you didn't get your name until you were baptized. That was the thinking back in those days. The other symbols that we have for a child that's stillborn is an empty bed. And there's no name on it. And it generally just says babe or baby. And then if a child dies in the childhood years, and by the way, the childhood years are either 10 or 12, depending on the era that you're in. You grew up quite quick in the early industrial area because you went to work. And in those cases, the symbolism is a child lying in a bed. It's done in that particular fashion. But infant mortality rates in Milwaukee, as anywhere in the United States, were quite high until clean water and sewers came along. And then the public hygiene was increased and mortality rates began to decline. We have child sections at Forest Home back from the 1800s, and they're quite mournful. It's hard to go in and see how many children died. We actually have a couple of sections that are tied to local orphan homes. And back in those days, you would give a free burial to the orphan home. And it was a difficult time.
Yeah. Another marker or symbol found throughout cemeteries is a wreath. Can you explain what that means, whether it's etched onto the stone face itself, or perhaps an angel is holding one, or a woman even?
Yeah. Generally, it's a woman holding one, or it's on the monument itself. The wreath is, it's a laurel wreath, by the way, that's what it would be made of, or the makings of it, goes back to the original Olympics. When someone won a race, you were crowned with a laurel wreath. And so the symbol is one of victory. But the victory here is essentially the great Christian promise of the victory of life in the hereafter. So that the life in this world, which may have been hard and dealing, the life thereafter would be the great promise. So that's the symbolism there. So generally, when a person uses the wreath, they're telling you that they are a Christian. And while some of them may be large, frequently they're small on the marker, and you have to kind of get up close to be able to see them. But done in that particular fashion, it is the symbolism of the victory.
Also along the same lines of what we find in nature, of course, very interesting was trees, broken trees specifically. That's not something I even knew existed.
Yeah, it's very Victorian, but the broken tree was a symbol of death. And sometimes it's a broken branch, but generally it's the trunk of the tree that is broken. Probably the best examples of this are what's known as a Bedford tree stone. They come from Bedford, Indiana, and they were marketed through the Woodmen of America, which today is an insurance. Back in those days, it was a fraternal organization with an environmental focus. And you could have the tree carved in many different ways, whatever fit everything. It could be as small as 2 feet high, or our largest one is about 10 feet high. And then you could have carved onto the tree things that may have been interest to you. On one tree, person was obviously a gardener because the gardening tools are carved into the tree. Another person had an interest in horses, so the horses are carved into the tree. Our more interesting one that we've debated over the years is what it represents. We've decided it was a bundle of cigars, that the person was a cigar smoker, because we didn't know what it was. But back in the day, you could go to a tobacco store and buy a bundle of cigars that was wrapped with a ribbon. And that's what this is. So I don't know today if people would memorialize themselves with their cigar, but there's probably a few people out there who would like to do that.
Probably. So when did people start turning away from buying and using large monuments with all these symbols and meanings to the more simplistic things we see today?
It's essentially World War I. World War I kind of ended that period of enlightenment that had begun in the 1800s and looking forward. And the war was devastating in terms of its death toll, its impact. And people began to move away from the larger symbols to symbols that are more simplistic. Basically, we went from what was known as a family lot to a mom and pop lot. Back in the day, everybody thought the family was going to stay together. In the modern era, we began to realize that families would be dispersed. And the markers don't carry a lot of symbolism. However, a new trend that I've noticed, but it's still gaining some steam, is the being able to use a laser to etch the image onto the monument that you want. First time I saw a person's image etched onto the monument, I wasn't comfortable with it because you were looking at the person who was dead. But it's becoming more popular, and they put more on. They'll put on their jobs, their hobbies, their cabin up north, all the different kinds of things. And lasers can do a remarkably good job on a piece of polished granite.
Well, I suppose that is just one indicator of how much materials and carving and how these things happen through time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. Most of the angels and persons images that we have at the cemetery are carved out of stone. However, we do have a number of bronze castings. Those are primarily angels. Interesting, they always struggled with how to depict the angel, primarily in terms of the face. Most of them have what I would call a feminine face. They look feminine. We have one that looks very masculine. And if you stand behind it, you would swear that it's Batman because the wings just come out like that bat cape. And first time I saw it, I thought, what the heck is this? And it turned out to be, if you go around the front, it's an angel, but very masculine looking, as opposed to the other angels that we have are definitely feminine looking. Now, they're supposed to be the messenger. That's the general purpose or role of an angel. But just depicting them artistically, it's kind of an interesting example.
Well, and all these details are really interesting. It's not something that you'd initially think about when walking through a cemetery. You know, perhaps people just need to get comfortable with the idea of leisurely strolling through one. But what would you say to encourage them to look a bit closer at all the markers found?
Well, I think it's trying to be solve the mystery, understand the story that's being told by the individual so that as time passes, they are remembered. And you as walking through the cemetery will see it and you'll remember it. Often people are awed by the size of some of the monuments and that's what they remember. But most of them have some kind of symbol on them that tells you who they are or what they are. And it's interesting to know that. And some of the names people recognize because they were famous names in the community. It's like we have a number of beer manufacturers buried at Forest Home. So you can call up their name and people will know, oh yeah, one of the favorites of a lot of people is Grandpa Graf, which was a soda. I don't know if it's still around anymore. They don't drink soda, but Grandpa Graf soda. But he was originally a beer guy. To survive Prohibition, he stopped making beer and started making soda. And that was it. But a lot of people like going to see his marker because they remember Grandpa Graf on the soda bottles. And so there's a lot of stories that are there, and it just makes it interesting.